Rosie TV.
Boy, how much more of this can we take? We live in the most disturbing time it's ever been. And it is because of technology. Because of the complexity of life that threatens to drive us all mad. And the only way you can get away from it really is to go out in the woods somewhere and build a thatched hut. But then you have to go to YouTube to figure out how to build a thatched hut. So you can't. You can't escape it. I don't know. Maybe you can. I don't know. People talk about getting off the grid. But it's a two-edged sword because myself, for instance, I want to herald the word. And in order to do that, I have to be connected. I'll never forget when I got my first computer, Tandy 286SX. This was in 1993. Before that, I was putting out a typewritten newsletter called Food for Thought. I had a Smith Corona electric typewriter and a bottle of Whiteout. And I would produce a 6-page newsletter. I had 11 subscribers, and when I got the realization that I wanted to use all my youthful energy to herald the word in a unique way that only I could do, I really, you're going to laugh, but I really wanted to do like a handwritten newsletter, draw cartoons. I mean, I'm a terrible artist. I just didn't want to go to a computer. I didn't have a computer. See, my dad bought me a word processor in probably 1990, because I was writing for the newspapers back then. I had a column in a couple different papers. And my dad bought me a Brother word processor. Not a computer, a word processor. And it had discs, you know, you could put in, I guess it was a 3x5 disc. You can put in and save your files. And that thing would always scramble words. I mean, it was not a perfect machine. But it was amazing to type and to see your words show up on a screen. You know, and that was amazing to me in 1990. And it did make things easier. Then when I decided I wanted to do this full time, I didn't want to go to a computer. I didn't want to buy a computer. I didn't own a computer. My family didn't even own a television set. My wife and 3 kids. And somebody had stolen the TV set out of the old farmhouse we moved into in 1984. My wife's grandparents had lived. No, her aunt and uncle had lived in this house. But they were in a nursing home. The house was abandoned. And my wife and I were finishing our transcontinental bicycle trip in September of 1984. And we were homeless. Before we went on the trip, we literally, you know, surrendered our apartment, sold our furniture, and we were basically living off the land and love. I remember, on that bicycle trip, we would be just in the wastes of New Mexico somewhere, and we're memorizing the books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. The only reason I can still do that is because I remembered it from 1984. And we would memorize Bible verses and things, just me and her out on the road. It was a simple time. I'm a very simple person. Very simple person. And so we moved into this house, and thank the Lord, somebody had stolen the television before we moved in. Maybe 2 weeks before we moved in, someone stole the TV. Broke into the window, stole the television. Thank you. So Marcia's grandparents, because her grandmother's sister, i.e. her aunt and the uncle that owned the house, were in the nursing home. So that's why the house was abandoned. She asked us if we wanted to live there, like a year, rent-free. And then after that, we would talk about terms. We said, yeah, this was in Greenwich, Ohio. So I was raised my kids without a television. There's a great book about this that I read in 1984. It's called Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. It's a great book. And as I told you, television was the beginning of the end. This mass connectivity, mass experience that supposedly brings people together but actually separates them. So my kids went, we just read books. I mean, we lived like it was, you know, 1849. Then eventually we got a little TV size of a toaster oven, and it had a port for movie things. What do you call those things? I don't know. VHS. So we never hooked up to an antenna or anything, so we couldn't get TV on it. We would just watch movies. So that was a big deal in our house. My kids were like, we watch movies. So this is how I prefer to live. Without all of this. So then when I started this work, I was producing my typewritten newsletter. That was the first newsletter. I had 11 subscribers, most of them family members. And a year later, I still had 11 subscribers, most of them family members. And I was just sharpening my skills with concordances and everything. But I was writing in a formulaic way. I'm not here to give you the whole history. Don't worry. I'm just going to make a point about technology. And then I got other things to tell you. Tomorrow, I'll get back to the Johnny Green audio. I know that's fun/sad to watch, but I'm going to do it. There's some great points to be made using that as a springboard. So when I got the great idea to throw my personality into my writing and to have illustrations, I always thought illustrations were the best. Whenever I pick up a book at the bookstore, I look for pictures. I said, well, if I couldn't find any pictures, I was like, what the hell kind of a book is this? Man, if I ever write a book, it's going to have some big time pictures. Every one of my books is illustrated to the max, as you know. So when I developed the idea for the Idle Babbler Illustrated, which is the newsletter I launched in spring of 94, I kid you not, I had the idea of hand writing it. And I was going to draw the illustrations. Now, if you're an artist, you either have to be really, 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 really good or really, really bad to be entertaining. I was really, really bad, and I knew my art would be so freaking bad that it would be hilarious. And I still have this idea in my mind. I used to write on my own, a little cartoon panel called The Sticks. That's what I called it, The Sticks. Kind of a play on words, like when you live out in the sticks. And it was all these stick people. And they were in strange situations and funny situations, and they were just horribly drawn. But it was funny because of that. There was no pretense of being good at it. And I thought, I'm going to do a newsletter that way. I'm just going to draw the pictures. And I started talking to people about this because I didn't want to get a computer. This is the whole point. I did not want to get a computer. So I'll just draw these funny pictures, and I'll still type it, but I'll make room when I type on these pages in my typewriter. The most valuable thing I learned in high school, by the way, the only thing I remember learning in high school is how to type. I remember that. On the fourth floor of Central Catholic High School in Canton, Ohio, typing class. That's, man, oh boy, that's served me well, let me tell you. So I was going to type it and draw funny pictures. I started telling people about this, and they looked at me like I was crazy. Martin, you have to reach a modern audience. You can't do it this way. People, you have to get a computer. I'm like, oh, not a computer. And they talked me into that. Talked me out of my harebrained scheme of doing a hand-drawn newsletter. And so I went to Radio Shack with my friend and got a TND 286SX. And I plugged that thing in at home. I'm like, oh. Talk about the beginning of the end. But that was nothing compared to the day we hooked up the internet. I probably had that thing. I started writing on it, produced my newsletter on it. Very primitive, but I had a book of clip art. There was just very few selections. And because there were few selections, you had to be really creative with the selections that you had. And so some of the illustrations I used for my text were really outrageous. I wish I could think of an example for you. Oh, okay. I had this one illustration of a guy in a deep sea diving suit. His big metal helmet and the big suit with a tube, life tube coming out there on the side. And in the text, I was talking about the way women dressed in Bible days, that it was almost impossible to lust after women in the Bible days because of they wore so many clothes, and many of them looked like this and had a picture of this diver. Because I didn't have any other photos. I had like a selection of like 150 illustrations or whatever. One of them was this stupid diver. That was funny. It was funny. Sometimes when you have limited resources, you have to be creative. It forces you to be creative. Back in the days when recording artists like the Beatles, they only had four tracks. They had to really be creative to make the most out of four tracks. Sometimes they'd have to build a track with the four tracks and then bounce that track and put it back onto the four track. Now they have 64, 74, 84, 132 tracks, and there's so many choices, so many ways to do things that the music has actually deteriorated. The best music was by like grunge bands back in the day in their garage, like Nirvana in the garage banging out songs. I'm an old-time, old-fashioned rock and roll guy, old school. Man, vinyl, put the needle on the vinyl, just, long for those days. What inspired this? I'm setting up my equipment. So this comes down to today. Look at me. I'm kind of looks good. I mean, I don't always get my lighting right. I got this microphone. I got this Vocaster thing. And see this thing over here? No, you can't see it. If I move it, my sound will go because these earphones barely work. My light stands barely hold the lights up. I have extension cords everywhere, and today I broke a vase. I broke a vase trying to, because it's a very small place where I live, I'm trying to drag these lights out and everything, and the vase smashed and broke. It wasn't a Ming vase or anything, but still, you know, still. And the biggest evil I suffer for the evangel is technology. And many of you have helped me get this equipment. I haven't gotten this myself. The saints have provided this for me to be able. I want to give God a good look. That's the whole thing. Of course, there's some ego involved, but I want my book covers to look good. I want the show to look good. I want people to see it and go, maybe I'll watch this, you know, so that the word can get out. I think Paul would do the same way. Paul would do the same thing. He would be the same way. There's the only technological issues he had to fight was he had to find the right vellum to write his letters on so that they would last at least, you know, a few months so that somebody could copy them. And the scribe, Tertius, Paul's scribe, had to have the right ink. So there were things that had to be considered when you're transferring information from your mind to an audience, and your medium is words, or in this day and age the medium is video. That's the medium. People don't read that much anymore. I'm still going to publish my books, don't worry. I need the books. I need to hold them. I need to see them, and it makes it easy to give the truth away when you have a book. But this is the medium people watch on video. Here I am on YouTube. Barely, like I say, I'm always just barely hanging on to YouTube. I'm barely hanging on to all of this. and I'm so inept at it. I'm at the limit. I am at the limit of my capabilities. Even that's not good enough. But it's good. It's good. No, it is good enough. If you strive for excellence, you might arrive at good enough. And you have to settle for good enough. And that's what I settle for. But God is worth it. So, I'm at the edge. I don't see. And what I'm doing with my little computer and my little lights is so primitive compared to what's out there. I don't know how people can like this shit as far as technology. Some people are into it. They're so excited about it. They get the latest equipment and they talk. The programs I have to use to build a book, to make a book, is satanic. It is freaking satanic. It is so evil. It's so evil. The things you have to learn, the things you have to know, and the people who put this together, I don't even know who these creatures are. I don't know who these creatures are who write computer programs. These people are from another planet. I barely know how to screw in a light bulb. See, it's clockwise, right? Okay. Let's see. This plug goes here. I don't know, man. It's getting worse every day, the technology. And it's part of the end time scenario, of course. I hope there's some value in this show. I'm not done yet. I'm just, see, look, I just bumped, right now, I just bumped the wire that connects the headphones. Somebody asked me, why do you wear headphones? So I can hear myself, so I don't blow out the microphone. If I get frustrated or make a loud point, then I can't hear myself if I don't have the earphones. So it helps me to mitigate the sound if I have to, or amplify it. Or if I get close to the microphone, I can tell what's happening with my... Okay, so that's that. Gotta have it. So, but technology is advancing at a rate that is driving the human race mad. Absolutely crazy. Bluetooth is stupid. I mean, it's convenient, but it's stupid. Nothing ever... The thing is they present us with such promise. Like, this technology will do everything for you. And then there's always a glitch. Always. Nothing's perfect. But the glitches are so fine and so repetitive and so multitudinous that they are driving, I think, the entire human race mad. And don't get me started on cell phones. Don't get me started on cell phones. I have a friend. I know that's surprising right there, but I have a friend when you're talking to her, you could be telling about the death of your mother, and you could be just pouring your heart out. And if that fucking phone rings, boom, she will pick it up. I mean, just, you are done. You're done. And it could be somebody selling aluminum siding. She has no idea who it is and doesn't care. The phone rang. In the meantime, bye. I got to go. Bye. Well, where are you going? I just got killed. You just killed me. You just dismissed me. You just turned me into nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are talking to someone, which is face to face, person to person, and your goddamn cell phone rings, this is what you do. You reach down, never lose eye contact. This is what I do. You never lose eye contact. I don't give a damn who's calling. You never lose eye contact. You feel for that stupid button on the side, press it so it stops ringing. Anybody who has their phone on ring, I don't understand people. I don't understand why your phone is on ring. And then people have phones, they go, to play freaking symphonies. Oh, It's just aggravating. It's people are morons. I'm sorry. If you're one of them, you're the exception. You're not a moron. I'm sorry. But they play these crazy tunes or these cartoon theme songs or whatever every time their phone rings. My phone is never on. That's why people can't get hold of me. That's the way I want it. I'm sorry. I need people, some people, to get hold of me. I really do. But I say, Martin, I've been trying to get hold of you for 2 days because I don't look at my phone if I can help it. It's because my phone is never on, because I hate to hear it ring. I mean, it's on, but the ringer's off. You see, the ringer's off. And I find the least obtrusive ringer I can find when I do have it on. And my heart sinks every time it rings. Like, oh, God, no. So it's making me crazy. But the world is so in love with us. Oh, so just turn the ringer off and never don't stop talking. And when you're done with the conversation, or when you find a lapse in the conversation, when the person you're talking to has stopped crying about their mother that just died that morning, find a good time to end the conversation. And then look at your phone. But not until then. Please, let us all do what we can to improve our civilization. To preserve what shred of civilization we have left. If you are at dinner, do not take your fucking phone to the dinner table. If you're talking to someone, do not answer your phone. I don't care if it's the President of the United States. Well, that's a bad example. If you're waiting for a life and death call from the hospital concerning your mother, then tell the person ahead of time. I might be getting a call. I'm talking to young people, old people, everybody. I'm talking to everybody. I might be getting a call. I might have to interrupt this conversation. I have to leave my phone on because of this reason. My mother's dying, and I might be getting a call from the hospital. I might have to run to the hospital, or my wife's pregnant right now, and she's going to be having a baby. If that phone rings, tell them ahead of time, okay? Otherwise, you slap them in the face to answer your phone. Please. For the sake of all that is holy and righteous, and if there's any shred of humanity left on this earth, put down the phone. Please, put it down. Drop it. Okay, this is Martin Zender, and welcome to MZTV. I have found a new site where someone is teaching the truth and doing a great job of it. And it's called Unapologetically Jax. It's our fellow believer, Jax. I don't even know what this woman's name is. But somebody said, you need to watch, you know, here's a link to Jax's show. So I went there and I was like, oh, this is really good. It's really refreshing, very honest. And so I want to recommend this site to you. I think Jax has like 223 subscribers. Let's get her up to 300. Just subscribe. My channel, you don't have to subscribe. You don't have to hit the like button. You don't have to do anything. It's the only show where anyone will tell you, you don't have to hit the subscribe button. It's okay. I'm good with it. You don't have to like the show. I'm good with it. You don't have to hit like. I don't care about the algorithms. I should, but I don't. It's all I can do to produce the content of this show. It's all I can do. That's all I can do. I can barely do that. But to me, suffering evil with the evangel is that wrestling with learning software, with learning. I don't even know what software is. I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. Programs that help me build, make my books look nice. Doing this thing on YouTube, I'm just at the edge. I'm at the freaking edge. Okay? So this is a bit of a gripe session, obviously. I'm just fed up with it. And I seem to be, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I'm the only one, but I know I'm not. I know many of you would say, yeah, we are too. But the technology is going on exponentially until we're just on a crash course. But unapologetically jacks. We have a wordsmith among us, ladies and gentlemen. A wordsmith. Unapologetically jacks. Very well titled. Congratulations, Jax. This woman has piercing eyes, and she's very honest, and it's just nothing fancy on the show. It's just got a camera out there, and the sound's adequate, and the video's good, so go for it. You know, sometimes I'm in my car. Sometimes I just can't handle the complexity. And where I am here, I have to set everything up every day. Afresh, anew, you see, anew, to put it away, take it up, put it away, take it up, put it away, take it up, just, I know, it's all relative, I know, what am I, suffering, really, is it suffering, I guess it's just the aggregate, it's 31 years on top of each other, it's the accumulative stress of the thing, and it has to be done every day, because you won't need to show every day. I want to do the show every day. I'm a servant of the Lord of Christ. But let me tell you, some days I think a shipwreck would be a freaking refreshment. A refreshing break would be a shipwreck. Can you imagine that? You're on this old rickety ship and it starts breaking apart and you're just like, I could die. And that would be a great thought by itself. I could die. That'd be terrific. But then you have this adventure. This thing's breaking apart, and you got to grab onto the thing. I don't know, man. Sometimes a shipwreck would be just the thing I need. And I think, Paul, I've told you this many times, and you, some people think I'm joking. Paul is going to, when we meet Paul, we picture ourselves as lauding Paul. Oh, Paul, you're the amazing guy. How did you do it? And Paul's going to say, how did I do it? How did you people do it? How did you people do it? Paul prophesied of these times. And last days, perilous periods will be present. Don't you think all this technology is part of the peril? Hell yeah, it is. I didn't even mention the electromagnetic waves going through the air, wrecking us every day, ruining us, screwing with us. And everybody goes around like, this is normal. This is normal. I boarded an airplane not long ago. Okay? I boarded an airplane. Had to go somewhere. And I'm at the airport. And all these people are lined up to get on this plane. And everybody's acting like this is normal. Everybody's like, looking at their watches. Hey, don't you people realize what we're about to do? Do you think this is normal? It is not normal. It's not natural to get somewhere thousands of miles away in a few hours. It's just not natural. It's not the way you're supposed to travel. It's not. So everybody gets in this freaking tube, this metal tube. They file in there. It's just, and I'm looking at all these people. I'm thinking, am I the only sane person here? Am I the only sane? I felt like Elijah. Lord, they have boarded your planes. They have plugged in your internet. They have technologized the world. And they answer their phones while people are talking about their dead mother. Lord, I alone am left. Lord said, I have reserved for myself 7,000. Who have not bowed the knee to Verizon, who have not bowed the knee to Microsoft, who have not bowed the knee to Apple. I have 7,000. Great. I'd like to meet them. Let's have a convention. But yeah, where are you going to have the convention? Everybody's got to fly to the convention. So I'm getting on this plane and I'm looking at everybody and they're like, this is what we do. I'm not afraid to fly. I'm not afraid of heights. I don't care. I just have to, I get on this plane like a cow. God. Watch Jax. I'm going to put it down here. I'm going to put the link to Unapologetically Jax. She's really good. She's really good. Watch it. What other notes do I have here? The body of Christ. Oh, I got this great card from Bob Breyfogle. I think I pronounced your name wrong before, Bob. It's got a G in there. I said Breyfoyle. I think it's Breyfogle. He sent me a Father's Day card. Father's Day celebration advice. This is the card. Okay, it says, whiskey on ice hurts your head. Rum on ice hurts. Rum on ice affects your stomach. Yeah, see, tequila on ice isn't good for your heart. And then you open the card, and it says, so on Father's Day, stay away from ice. Now that's funny. And it's, look, it's paper. It's paper. Look at it. It's a nice wish. And Bob put some support for the work in here. Thank you, Bob. And it was a funny joke. And I don't know how the people made this card, but it's cardboard. It's terrific. It came in an envelope that was delivered by the USPS. Yes. Okay. I got much more to say. But my time is running out. So tomorrow, you'll have an actual show tomorrow. Actual show. Actual show. I want to talk about this shipwreck thing. I really realized something. Paul is more into this hierarchy within the body of Christ than we realize. We don't realize how natural this was to Paul, that there's a hierarchy within the body of Christ. I mean, we know there is, but we don't realize how common it was for the first century believers to think it and for Paul to think it. And I realize this shipwreck is a division within the body of Christ. You're shipwrecked. Your faith is, speaking of shipwreck, your faith is shipwrecked. That's a division in the body of Christ. And on top of that is like the wreath of righteousness or the high calling of Christ Jesus, the high calling and shipwreck. A shipwreck is a category of believer. It's just, it hit me after that show Friday, and it's like, that was amazing. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about, oh my God, I got links for you. I'm going to talk about, we're going to go back to Johnny Green thing, of course. Watch, I'll close with this. Somebody sent me one of my own videos called Why Christian Tent Revivals Never Cure Sin. I hadn't seen this thing. I did it 6 years ago in the laundry room. You got to watch this. It's so entertaining. It's so good. It's just so pure and holy. It's called Why Christian Tent Revivals Never Cure Sin. If you have never seen this, I'm the Christopher Perry. He's going to put it on the greatest hits list. If you have never seen this, it is linked below. So subscribe to Jack's Unapologetically. It's hard to say. Unapologetically Jack's. Subscribe today. Let's get her to 300 subscribers, if you would. And do that, and then watch Why Christian Tent Revivals Never Cure Sin. And tomorrow I'll make a real show for you. You'll see. And then you got these people with their phone. It's like a John Phillips Sousa. March, their phone rings. It's like, and then they pick up their phone, and they, you know, and they just look at it. In the meantime, I'm like, answer the damn phone. Hello? Oh, it's a good thing I don't own a gun.